Welcome to Your Funeral Coach Talks, a bi-monthly podcast hosted by Lisa Bowie, founder of Your Funeral Coach, a consulting and mentoring company serving the funeral, cremation, and cemetery profession. Listen in today to the Elevating Women in Funeral Service series as she interviews thought leaders and difference makers in her profession.
Hi, listeners. We're back again with one of my favorite people in the entire world, Colleen Ellis. And Colleen is with Two Hearts Pet Loss Center. She also is a motivator, an author, a mentor, an international speaker, and she coaches and mentors people on the death care of pets. And she's from South Lake, Texas. So Colleen, welcome. So glad to have you here.
Oh my gosh. My favorite day to be with you. I love it, Lisa. Let's do this.
Well, let's do this because this is part of our Women in Leadership series, and we're going to talk about confidence today. And let me tell you how confident Colleen is. Mm. So she founded an organization called Pet Angel Memorial Center, had 10 locations in 4 states, serving over 120,000 pets a year when she moved on in 2018. And so since then, she has been 14 years with her Two Hearts Pet Loss Center, as well as she gets out and speaks to graduating classes at mortuary school and conferences, and is just an amazing mentor and teacher. And in many ways, you just get us excited about life, Colleen. And you've always done that for me. And I just want to say thank you. And for any listeners that just want to get excited, listen to this podcast over and over again, because today we're talking about confidence. And you are, Colleen, one of the most confident women I've ever met in my life. It's like you never have a bad day. How do you do this? How do you do this?
Well, first of all, you don't let them see you sweat. So let's just start there, right?
Good deodorant.
Right? Exactly. Hey, I just want to say one thing. So that last operation was the Pet Loss Center. So I just wanted to clarify that Pet Angel was my first and then the Pet Loss Center. So just clarify. Yes. Okay, so... But you want to know something, Lisa? Can I tell you a secret? And it's just between you and I.
And everybody listening.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. I forgot about that. Yeah. You know, I don't know that you're born that way. I think that skills, I think you're born with a little bit of toughness, right? Yeah. But I'm not sure that you're totally born with the confidence that you grow into your feet with as you mature and as you age and as you do get more confident in the life and the work that you do. So I think it's a little bit of a learned behavior. Do you agree with that?
I do agree with that. I can tell you my very first story of when I gained confidence. So
yes,
I'm at my grandfather's farm when I'm probably about 8-10 years old, probably 10. And I had to break the Shetland ponies every spring for my little cousins who were coming. And now he would saddle up these Shetland ponies. And those of you that met me know that I became 6'1 and with very, very long legs. And he gets me on top of these Shetland ponies and boom, I get promptly bucked off because they haven't been ridden all winter. One's named Thunder and one is named Lightning.
Oh,
so you can imagine. So my grandfather has him on this long lead rope. Now I'm a horsewoman. So if you know about horses, you have them on long lead ropes and usually you do what's called lunging. Well, my grandfather decided that he was going to lunge them with me on their back. And this was going to be good training for me and to get those ponies spring broke, he called them, or summer broke. I'm like, oh, this is going to be scary. Well, he says, it's not far to the ground. You can do this. And then, of course, after getting bucked off how many times, and I'm probably tears are welling up in my eyes and I'm sore and I know I'm going to be bruised the next day. My grandfather looks me straight in the face and he says, Lisa, you need to show the horse who's boss.
Ooh, there we go.
Get back on the horse, he said, or the pony. Get back on. So what was your first lesson in self-confidence? Do you remember? That was mine.
I probably am going to flash back while you were telling that story, which I love it, Thunder and Lightning, that's the best ever. As I'm looking back, I think it may have started in high school, and I'll tell you why. I loved it. I was honored. If there was ever a project, now I want you to remember, I grew up in a high school of 43 kids. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if there was ever a project to do, if there was ever a task at hand, I was asked to do it. And on one hand, you get home at the end of the day and say, God dang it, why was I always the one asked to do things? And then after a while, it's like, well, I will get it done because I am responsible and I told you I would get it done. And if I don't know how to do it, I think this is another part. I'm going to throw this one out too, because of course back then, more prevalent than maybe it is now, but there's a lot of things I didn't know how to do. And so ain't no crying and none of that, is there, Lisa? And no. So I would just say to myself, you better figure it out because they're relying on you to figure it out. So figure it out. And I would figure it out. And
so self-talk, positive self-talk.
Girl, I think that one is so huge in this topic. So huge in this topic. Positive self-talk. Big.
How do you develop positive self-talk? Let's talk about that for a moment here on Your Funeral Coach Talks. Sometimes you get so down on yourself and you start doubting yourself that you get into this negative self-talk thing, right? I mean, I've done it. Done it many times. I remember doing it as a teenager when I wasn't in the most popular group. I mean, I was tall and skinny and flat-chested and buck teeth and had braces, and none of the high school boys were asking me out on dates, and all the popular girls were getting, you know, invitations to prom and all this stuff. Yeah. And I just felt so awkward, and I just was so down on myself. I was in what's called the pep club, right? And that helped me a lot. I mean, I formed a group of women friends that I didn't even know till I got to high school, and we were the pep club, and I wasn't good at a cheerleader. I couldn't even do a cartwheel. My long legs would flop over sideways. I'd fall on my butt, right?
Oh,
so how do you lift yourself back up? Get in the pep club, right? So here we are. This is a pep club today for everybody who's listening. Tell me about what you do if you get those self-taught talk in your head, right? The things that just keep saying, that little angel on your one shoulder and the little devil on the other that says you can't do this. What do you do, Colleen?
You know what? I give it a second. I let it have a minute. And happened yesterday. Something happened. I was dorking around on the computer and I screwed something up. And I literally said to myself, you're such an idiot. Seriously, you are such an idiot. And then I said, okay, you get that one. You get that one and now it's over. Now figure out how you fix it and get yourself around it. And so I give myself one little punch. I get a throat punch myself one.
Little pity party, one little pity.
And it's about 12 seconds. And then I stop it.
So I said, minute is 60 seconds. So you only do this for 12 seconds and then you lift yourself back up. There's got to be something inside of you that you learn someplace that says to yourself, don't do that.
It, you know what I say to myself? A long time ago, I realized this. Am I really an idiot? And the answer to that is no, I'm not. No. I just had an idiot moment right there.
Right.
And so therefore it's not to broad brush my entire day. It's not to broad brush my entire being. It's not to do any of that stuff. I had an idiot moment. And that's the self-talk. That's the mindful self-talk that I do with myself. That says, that was an idiot move. Now you're smarter than that. Fix it. Go. And I'm mindful when it happens. And you know what? The other thing I do, Lisa, I say to myself a lot, if I had a friend sitting in front of me who did that mistake, would I chastise them? And would I say to them, you're an idiot? I would never do that. And so why would I do that to myself? I'm supposed to be my own best friend.
Right? Yes.
And so I'm very mindful and I stop it. I stop it immediately. I give myself a minute and then I stop it. And then I go figure it out.
That's interesting. You know, I love how you said that I'm supposed to be my best friend. I heard a speaker not too long ago that talked about loving yourself. And he asked this question of everybody before when he first started. He said, close your eyes and think of someone that you love the most. Of course, what do? We think of our husbands and our puppies and our moms or dads or our children. Do we think of ourselves first? And it was amazing. I'm in this room of 150 women caregivers. And how many of them said me? Like none of us. Because we're so used to giving to other people instead of ourselves, right? So you got to learn to love yourself. I love that. Oh,
yeah, I gotta share a little game with you. Okay. Whenever I do talks in the veterinary industry, a lot of them, if it's appropriate, I start off with the jelly bean talk. And here's the jelly bean talk. I give everybody 5 jelly beans. You get 5 jelly. Now, here's what I learned, Lisa. People will eat the jelly beans. So I actually put 5 jelly beans on the screen because they eat the darn thing. They eat them before I even get there to tell them why not to eat the jelly beans.
They didn't get enough sugar today.
Right? So here's the game.
Okay. I'm writing this down. 5 jelly beans.
Yes.
Okay.
5 jelly beans. And you have 3 people you need to take care of. Divvy up the 5 jelly beans between the 3 top people that you need to take care of. And I give everybody a second to do that. And then the question begs itself, who kept a jelly bean for themselves? Because we are notorious for giving all our jelly beans away. And so back in one of my old companies, we didn't ask for vacation days. We asked for jelly bean days. I need to get a jelly bean back because I've given all my jelly beans away. And so I keep that top and center too in my head when I sometimes I've given everything away. I've given it all away. And I need to be mindful of that because you and I talked before we went live on this, that a lot of confidence comes with our self-care. And so I've got to ask myself a question. Did I give all the jelly beans away?
That's really good. Well, we're going to go to self-care in just a second. I want to ask you one more question. So, Colleen, you have bad moments and it's just a moment, right? But what happens if you're having a really bad day? What do you do with that? Do you just let yourself have the bad day? Or do you try to pick yourself up and then you don't and you feel like a failure or the day just, I mean, you know how we all have those days where nothing goes right? Mm-hmm. Or we wake up and we're tired and we're cranky, we wake up happy and then our day goes to, you know, where, right? So what do you do with that? Help us with that one.
So it starts out that way, right? Everything you touch turns to poo-poo. It all goes to poo-poo, right?
I love, and this is from my favorite pet woman, the poo-poo. I love it. Dog poo-poo, cat poo-poo, or people poo-poo.
Poo-poo. It's just
it could
poo-poo.
Just be, depending on who you're interrelating with that day, it could be a poo moment day.
It's a poo moment day. You know what I do? Because I get frustrated like everybody else. But you know what I do? I recognize it. And after about the third poo-poo moment, I say, it is going to be a poo-poo day. And so I'm going to do one of two things. I'm either going to ditch the day. And I'm just going to say, listen, things are not going to go right today. It started off on a bad path. I know what's going to happen. And I'm either going to ditch the day or I'm going to ditch what I can ditch today and not because I know it's just going to continue to head down that path. We have those days. The third thing that I do is I say, if there are things that I need to do today, I'm going to make a game of this and I'm going to laugh. And that's all I can do today because tomorrow's another day. So I'm mindful of it. I can't keep fighting it because we have the days. And so it is what it is. I'm going to laugh or I'm going to ditch the day. Those are my choices.
That's
control what you can control.
Right. I love that. And when you said tomorrow is another day, I just immediately thought of Scarlett O'Hara, Vivian Leigh in Gone with the Wind, right? We're of that generation. That was probably one of our favorite movies. So, you know, I won't think about that today. I'll think about that tomorrow. You know, is something she said. I love it. So if you're going to ditch the day, right, then what do you go do?
I go do stuff for me. So I either take a walk, I get back here in my creative room. I do something for me that I know I can't screw up today. Because if I'm screwing everything up today, then I can't go touch my sewing machine because I'm probably going to screw that project up too, right? It's just one of those days. And so I'm going to do a project I can't fail at.
Well, you're amazing if you're sewing. You're sewing your own clothes. I've seen your outfits and they're amazingly gorgeous. Really?
I do. I'm gonna
get you my sizes. Your clothes are so cute.
Yes. I wanna lose
some weight though first before I do that.
Oh, goodness.
Cool.
Me.
Ditch the day, go do something nice for yourself. Take a walk, drink a cup of hot tea, get out in nature if you can, if it's not too drizzly and dreary. Or you know what? Walk in the rain a little bit. And there was an old movie about singing in the rain, right? Fred Astaire and was it Ginger Rogers or maybe it might have been one of the other actresses. Sing in the rain, you know?
Yeah.
I had an instructor early on as a young funeral service woman. at the Funeral Service Foundation management course, which doesn't exist anymore today, unfortunately. But his name was Whit Schultz, and I'll never forget him. And he was our afternoon speaker, which you know how hard that is, right? When it's mid-afternoon, everybody's been going since 8 a.m, had lots of classes. And this was a whole 3 weeks of classes. You could take them a week at a time. But boy, you know, he knew we were zoning out, right? And we're young people. We're in our 20s. And he had to stand up and do the ABCs with enthusiasm.
Stop it.
Yeah. So we all, so here we are, young, pretty insecure funeral directors. I'm the only woman in the group. I'm all men, right? And me.
Love it.
We're all in suits and all this stuff. I'm thinking, I wasn't a good cheerleader. I'm, you know, this is my shy moment now, right? I really was shy growing up. A lot of people don't realize that about me. I'm kind of sort of on the border introvert, extrovert, but you won't know it. You won't know it because you train yourself not to be, right?
Yeah.
And I'm looking around at all these guys and they're not doing anything. They're just barely going A, B, you know, if you can see me, C, you know, they're barely raising their hands. I thought, you know what? I was in the pep club in high school. I can do this. I'm going to show these guys, right? So I start putting my hands straight up in the air and shouting, A, B. Of course, Lisa has a very loud voice when she needs to.
Oh, I love it.
I was raised German with parents with loud voices. And he just looks at me and he starts cracking up and laughing. I thought, this is awesome. So when I had a bad day later on as a funeral director, when things got overwhelming, when I was just, you know, overwhelmed with sadness, serving baby families and tragic lost children and just suicides and so forth, I literally would leave the building, go into my car, and I would start shouting the ABCs. That's what they
love that.
Me.
I love that.
And I think you got to do something
forward.
To lift yourself up because you still got to go back in there and serve another family sometimes, right?
Yeah. And Lisa, that was so huge. It was it's your coping mechanism. And
it was
so
then.
I think that it, if it still works today, you should go do it today. You know, figure out your coping mechanism, figure out what gets you centered again and get your mind right again. I love that.
And get your endorphins going too. Well, let's talk, speaking of endorphins, let's talk about self-care a little bit. So I found a little handout on the internet from Dr. Rachel Goldman, who's a PhD in psychology. She's a professor in wellness and really focuses on healthcare changes. So you are fit. You are a beautiful woman. Let's talk about what you do to stay healthy and what you've done all these years. How do you self-care in areas of exercise and eating healthy? Because those are some of the tips she has for us that we need to do a better job with, right? Stay away from the chips and the snacks. And we're notorious, those of us that are in death care, especially if you're on the funeral side, at need funeral side or at need cemetery side or at need cremation side, sometimes you don't have time to breathe and eat healthy, right? What do you do, Colleen? And what's worked for you over the years?
You know, I have always been an absolute freakazoid on working out. Back in the day, when workout clubs were not 24 hours, I was there at 5 o'clock when they were waking. Oh my gosh. When they were opening up the gym, I was there at five.
When the rest of us are not even awake.
That's exactly right. Yeah. I was there at 5 o'clock and I would do an hour, hour and a half. I'm a little later right now. I still get up at five, but I'm a little later. I like my coffee now and then I go work out. But it's my me time. I listen to my Audible books at that time, and I am very dedicated that I cannot listen to them any other time but when I'm working out. So I make sure to get really juicy books that I want to know the next thing. And so it gets me up in the morning. It's juicy stuff. Ooh. So it gets me there.
We're gonna have to get book topics coming out at some point. Maybe when you do a writing for our newsletter at your funeral coach. I think you're up next coming up with our women's group that writes for us. Let's hear about those juicy books. Oh, I love it.
Good stuff. And then, you know, as I was turning 30, which has been X amount of years ago, I wanted to be responsible with food because I believe that everything that goes in our mouth affects every part of our body. And I took a cooking class. My body reacts to low fat. And so I wanted to understand low fat and how you read nutrition labels and how you do substitutions and how you do all that kind of stuff. And I've done that since I've been 29 years old. And
wonderful.
I'm pretty dedicated. Not that I don't have a French fry moment or a pizza moment. Sure. But I've been really dedicated to that. And it makes me feel better about the investment into myself, Lisa. It's the investment I have to make.
It's the essence of self-care. Right.
It is.
Eating well and healthy as well as exercise. So you're getting up now, and now you get up at 5, but you start exercising at 6. You work out how long? 30 minutes? 45?
No. Hour and a half at least.
An hour and a half. So are you riding bikes? Are you walking? Yeah. Are you lifting weights? Do you go to the gym? Tell us.
Yep. Go to the gym. And I've started switching because of my age, started switching to a lot more weight bearing. Mm-hmm. But I'm probably 60-40, 60% weight bearing, 40% cardio now.
Wow.
And I can tell when I don't start my day like that, I can tell. And I want to go to your comment, because we're so busy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? We're all busy. And this morning when I was mindful enough to make the decision not to go to the gym because of some other commitments I had to get to today, I know I'm going to pay for that tomorrow. I know I'm going to pay for that tomorrow, but I gave myself a pass today because at the end of the day, there are certain days that we can only fit so much into the bucket, right? And so if it's a one pound bucket, we're only putting 1 pound in, because when we try to put 5 pounds, that's when we get overloaded. If I'm on the move all day, and I used to do this as a sales rep, Lisa, when I was with Forethought back in the day, I packed my own food because I knew all along the way we're going to be fast food restaurants, and that was not going to work for me. I packed my own food. I can't tell you how many kitchens I've gone back to ask how they prep food and ask for mine to be prepped a certain way with no oils and no butters and whatever else it may be. And let me tell you what, they are accommodating on that. And so especially today,
you can get gluten free. You can get, you know, dairy free. There's so much, so much more. Right. I've noticed that. That's cool. Well, that's how many days a week do you work out, Colleen?
Five days.
So is it Monday through Friday, or do you throw one in on the weekend?
Monday through Friday for sure. If I miss one during the week, I may try to play a catch up over the weekend.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But you know what? You also kind of reach a point, Lisa, that it's okay. Listen, you missed a workout. Okay. Make sure you're still mindful of it. Make sure it doesn't become a habit. Make sure you're back on the track again and doing what you need to do, instead of throwing the baby out with the bathwater and going, well, there goes that workout routine.
Right.
Done and over. I missed three, so I can't do it anymore.
Have a little self-forgiveness, right?
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah,
and if you're traveling a lot for business, most places have really good gyms. So there's really no excuse there, right? So
Nope. Well, Lisa, I got to tell you a story.
Go ahead.
So all that workout stuff started 1,000 years ago as I was a rep with Forethought, right?
Mm-hmm.
And back then, hotels did not have workout facilities.
That's true.
So I go to the trainer at the gym and I said, I need you to design a full workout for me, hour and a half, that I can do with whatever is in a hotel room. Go. And I'm telling you, to this day, I will still do some of those things, because it consisted of squats down the hallway in front of outside my hotel room. And it consisted of, if there were more floors, I ran the back stairs and did those. I carry the Vitavans workout with me. I carry all that. It's amazing what kind of a squat workout you can do on a chair in a hotel room, and it will kick your booty right now. So there's no excuses.
Wow. That's absolutely true. I know. I had a friend who used to travel with bands.
Yes,
and would do exercises, you know, you can hook them to your door. There's so much you can do with the bands of resistance training. And that's great too. You know, if you can't do weights, do resistance. So I love it. Well,
so much
all good solutions.
Do.
Sure.
Yes. Yes,
all right.
Yes.
So let's talk about sleep, because if you're up at 5 a.m. in the morning, which most people are in that 5 to 6 a.m. if you're in the workforce right now today, right? Possibly, especially if you have children, you want to get up a little bit before they do. What time do you go to sleep? What's bedtime for you?
You know, I tell you, it used to be 11 to 12 because I didn't need much, but I'm more of a 9 to 10 girl now and just need a little bit more. Yeah. And I'm, again, recognizing that my body is changing and my needs are changing, and I can either fight it or I can embrace it, and I choose to embrace it. So I'll take my little bit more.
So if you wake up in the middle of the night and you can't sleep and your mind is going buzz, 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 and you've got a big funeral the next day or family to see or a big business meeting, and whatever it is, what do you do? How do you get yourself back to sleep?
I start to pray the rosary. So I turn my I turn my mind off. So I make go to prayer.
That's wonderful. That works for you. So find something that helps you get back to sleep. A lot of times I do a core mind dump. So I hate to go on my phone if I don't have to, but I'll put it in notes if that's all I have, or I'll keep a notepad by my bed and whatever's in my mind, right, that comes to me. Oh, I don't want to remember this tomorrow. I want to remember this, you know, the next day. I want to be sure and email somebody something that just pops in my head, because your brain, sometimes you get that constantly moving brain and boom. I just write it down. And then guess what? I can go back to sleep.
Yeah. Love that. Okay. I love that. You just got to clear. So I'll start that rosary. I'll start that prayer. And then I'll grab the pup. And I'll snuggle with the pup. And it works wonders. Wonders.
Oh, that's so nice. I love that. Well, my husband and I kind of have a no pups in the bed rule. They sleep in little crates, little soft, little, you know, right at the foot of our bed, because they're young. They're two and they'd just be up there and we'd get no sleep. We'd be getting licked to death, right? So, and so they are crate trained and they do so lovely. And they lay on top of our bed when we're getting ready for bed. And they pretty much look at you like, why aren't you putting me back in my little place?
Oh, I want
to
go to my,
and they, we had their little puppies that have a little heartbeat in there and their little, you know, soft little blankies that they've had since they were babies. No toys. And they just conk out, and if they've got a routine, they go to bed when we go to bed. Now, if my husband's up late watching a game, that is the frustrating part, because he, like, you know, right now it's Nugget season, you know, before that it was Avalanche, you know, or if it's a late football game, forget about it. He's up.
And so
I have to be more disciplined in getting myself to bed, because if I won't be getting my routines in the morning if I don't do that. So that's all good advice. So let's talk about confidence for just a little bit before we have to end. What happens when your confidence feels like it's being challenged? You're in a conversation with someone maybe who has authority with you, or someone you work with, and you're just feeling like you're constantly being challenged or put down or criticized. How do you help yourself get through that and keep your own sense of self and self-confidence when you constantly feel like somebody's maybe nitpicking on you? What do you think?
So blank reaction is, I feel like anybody else does. You know, it makes me feel like the imposter syndrome starts to kick in a little bit with, really, what do you know, Colleen? What is, seriously, do you really know this? And then I've got to get disciplined with that self speak to say, hang on, I do know what I'm talking about here, and I'm okay with that. You know, I think the other thing that I'm confident enough to do, Lisa, is to make sure that I put myself in a healthy position. I don't allow personal attacks to happen. We can talk about whatever we're talking about, and we can have differing opinions, but I'm not going to take a personal attack. And so establishing boundaries and ground rules for discussions, that we're going to talk about the subject at hand without personal pot shots. If I need to stop sometimes, though, and I need to process the conversation and ask myself, first of all, are we on the same page and understanding each other? And if we are on the same page and understanding each other, then maybe there's an element that I need to say, teach me, or share more with me on that, so I understand where you're coming from. And then I want the equal respectful time to share where I'm coming from. And then let's talk about that. And I'm okay to do that. I'm absolutely okay to do that. And to make sure that the words teach me, help me understand where you're at.
I love those
words. I've never looked at it. Yeah, me too. I've never looked at it that way, Lisa. Share more with me about where you're seeing it from. Confidence doesn't mean I know everything. Confidence means I'm comfortable in what I know, but that doesn't mean I know what you're thinking. It doesn't mean I know the definition of the color of blue that you have in your head. And so I'm confident in the definition of the color of blue that I have in my head. I'm very confident about that. I'm very self-assured with that. And so to say, teach me, I want to learn, help me understand. Those aren't knocks on my confidence. In fact, those are elements of the confidence that says I'm willing to learn more. I want to learn more. Oh my gosh.
I love that. And I don't think anyone can make you feel a lack of confidence. You do that to yourself. You know, I think they can, they can try, I'm with you. You don't get to yell at me. Let's go sit down and go to a private place. Let's have a conversation. If I've made a mistake or I've failed and someone is coming to me and they're visibly upset, let's take a big breath and go in a private place. And if I've done something to offend you or have I made a mistake, I'm so sorry. I want to learn from this. So I think you have the ability to continue to be confident in yourself. And as you grow and mature, admit your mistakes. Oh, maybe I did fail. Maybe I could have done that better, you know, and gosh, you know, you're right. You're right. I could have done that better. Teach me. I love that word. So let's use that word a lot in our, in boosting ourselves. Teach me and help me understand. So I found a few tips as we get ready to close a little bit about some ways you can boost your self-confidence from a great little website called reachout.com. So here's what they say. Look at what you've already achieved, right? So it's easy to lose confidence in yourself and things that you've done. Maybe write them down, make a list. And if you're still young and you're in this profession and you're just getting started, gosh, did you graduate from mortuary school? Did you learn how to run the crematory? Did you get your certification? Did you learn how to open and close a grave? Think of the things you've accomplished so far. Yeah. Did you graduate from high school? Right? Yeah. So look at the positive things that you're doing and make a list and keep that list in front of you. And every time you start adding to it, you're putting more positivity into your self-care and your self-confidence bucket, right? Start a little bucket and put little notes in there. I think that's a good idea. Think of things that you're good at. You know, sometimes you just feel like I can never win. I am not good at anything. Yes, you are. Of course you are. You're good at so many things. You may not be good at certain things other people are, but you certainly have gifts. And let's write those down and maybe start looking at those a little bit more. Set up some goals. Talk to yourself. These are great things. Here's one too. Hobbies. Colleen, do you have a hobby?
Oh my gosh, yes. Yes. So sewing and my creative room over there is loaded with vinyl cutting machines and embroidery machines and Dremels and sewing machines. And I got a whole garage of furniture to refinish. That fills me up.
It does. Working with your hands. I'm not talented like that. I'm just not good with my hands. My mother was a beautiful artist. My dad was very artistic in his creative thinking, and that's where I am. But my mother was she could sing. She had beautiful paintings. And she just very, very creative in those areas. So I try to use my creativity as a hobby, but I love to ride my horses when I'm in Colorado, when I have time. Sometimes I just like to take a walk with my pups. You know, I'm not crafty. So here, this podcast is kind of like a hobby for me now. I really enjoy it. I enjoy speaking to people like you. And if you're really not feeling better, one of the things that reachout.com recommends is sometimes the quick fixes don't help for long term. If you're really feeling bad and things just don't seem to be improving, it's worth talking to someone who knows how to help you. Yeah. Seek out professional help. Would you say that's good advice? Find a counselor or a psychologist?
I do. I think, you know, as you continue to practice your self-speak and continue to try, maybe you just need to say some things out loud and let somebody reframe it to you and maybe give you some different coping skills. I think the other thing, I just want to make sure I say this, you know, I think, Lisa, we get too caught up in believing people are talking about us and thinking about something we did that didn't work or we felt stupid about in a meeting. We said something stupid. Let me tell you something. People aren't thinking about us. They went home and they're thinking about what they did today that maybe looked dumb and stupid on their part. And nobody's thinking about them and everybody, don't give yourself that much credit. Okay. It's not happening.
Stop worrying about what others think about you, what you think others think about you. Start worrying about what you think about yourself.
Exactly. Cause they're not thinking about you. Okay. Let's just remember that they are not. So
take care of you.
Do you. Yes. Do you.
All right. Well, confident Colleen, this has been a great talk. Thank you so much for being with us again today. Love you, love you, love you. And if you want to get a hold of Colleen and find out more about how she lifts herself up and all the wonderful things she does as a leader, as a woman leader in the death care profession, how do they reach you, Colleen?
You know, they can reach out. I'm all over social media. And then, of course, just shoot me an email, colleen.rocks. They can contact me, Colleen, at my Two Hearts Pet Loss Center. Put my name, first name in front of that. They can catch me there.
Colleen Ellis, everyone. Thanks for being with us again today. Take care.
Thanks. Thanks, Lisa.
We hope you enjoyed today's Your Funeral Coach podcast and will join Lisa Bowie and her guests again soon. Let us know if there are any topics you would like to hear more about. For more information on future shows, please go to yourfuneralcoach.com. If you enjoyed the show, consider giving us a 5-star review. Thank you.